بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is going to be our 12th lesson. Today being the fifth day in the month of Ramadan, 1441, after the historic Hijra of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 28th day in the month of April 2020, the Christian era. As we have in this our series, the Aqidah series, we are still studying Aqidah Turraziyin, the pamphlet on Aqidah by these two great imams, Abu Hatim al-Razi and Abu Zur'ata al-Razi. Remember, Abdurrahman bin Abi Hatim al-Razi was the one that asked these two great imams question regarding the Aqidah of the Salaf, and they answered him in this short treatise. Yesterday, we discussed the issue of the Khawarij pronouncing kufur on those that are guilty of major sins, and that the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding those people is that they are fi mashi'atillah, tahta mashi'atillah. If Allah wills, He punishes them. If Allah wills, He forgives them, because their sin is not shirk. And we discussed what, you know, kaba'ir is not, yani what people might think to be kaba'ir, but it's actually kufr. We discussed that yesterday. And we also discussed the issue of not making takfir on the people of Qibla, yani the Muslims, for the sins that they have committed, and that we leave their secret matters to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, وَنُقِيمُ فَرْضُ الْجِهَادِ وَالْحَجِّ مَعَ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي كُلِّ دَهْرٍ عَفْوًا فِي كُلِّ دَهْرٍ وَزَمَانٍ. وَنُقِيمُ فَرْضُ الْجِهَادِ, and we established the obligation of jihad, that jihad is compulsory. وَالْحَجِّ, as well as Hajj, ma'a a'immatil muslimina, with the leaders of the Muslims, fi kulli dahrin wa zaman, in every time and era. Am I communicating? In every time and era. We establish the obligation of jihad and Hajj along with the rulers of the Muslims in every time and era. In every time and era. Now, this is very important, because today, on one side you have people calling for jihad, on the other side you have people telling you that, are these people actually fighting jihad for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have they fulfilled the conditions that are to be met before it can be called jihad fi sabilillah? Are they themselves fighting for the sake of Allah, or they're fighting for something other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Jihad, according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni, in the 10th volume of Al-Mughni, page 368, he said, وَأَمْرُ الْجِهَادِ مَوْكُولٌ إِلَى الْإِمَامِ وَإِجْتِهَادِهِ, that the matter of jihad, now you have two types of jihad. You have the jihad that is fardul I need that is compulsory. You have the one that is Fardul Kifaya. The jihad that becomes compulsory on everyone, wherein that you have, Ibn Qayyim made mention of different types of jihad, and one of them is jihad bisayf, fighting with the sword. But you have other forms of jihad. So when you hear the word jihad, you take it back to the Arabic meaning, which is striving. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ankabut, Quran chapter 29 verse 69. So jihad means striving, but when it is mentioned in that connotation in Sharia, it means striving fi sabilillah, you know, to raise the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This jihad, as we said, وَنُقِيمُ فَرْضَ الْجِهَادِ, we establish the obligation of jihad, والحج, and hajj, مَعَ أَئِمَّةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, alongside with the leaders, the rulers of the believers, فِي كُلِّ دَهْرٍ, in every time with the man in an era. In every time in era. So, I was quoting the statement of Ibn Qudama in Al-Mughni, in the 10th volume. He said, وَأَمْرُ الْجِهَادِ مَوْكُولٌ إِلَى الْإِمَامِ وَاجْتِهَادِهِ. So you cannot set forth and declare jihad without having the Muslim ruler commanding such. So it has to be under the rulership of a Muslim leader. Ibn Qudama said, the matter of jihad, I was explaining two types under this. You have that jihad that you have to seek for the approval of the Amir before you can engage in that jihad. Then you have the jihad that you don't have to seek for Amir's approval. What type of jihad is that? You're sitting in a, you're living in a Muslim city, and the enemies come attacking. Then it is obligatory for everyone to stand up to defend the Muslim territory. You don't have to wait for the Imam to give approval for that, because the danger is imminent. But when it is the type of jihad that is aimed at conquest, that is aimed at calling the kuffar to the fold of Islam, then that type of jihad, the command to go forth for that jihad is exclusively in the hands of the ruler. This is what Ibn Qudama said in Al-Mughni, 10th volume. I've given the reference, page 368. And is ijtihad, yani its juristic effort, its juristic reasoning, you know, based on its ijtihad, understanding, and its rule. Yes, Allah has commanded, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Qudama, he said, the people must obey him, they must obey the ruler in whatever he sees fit with regard to that, with regard to that jihad. What is the wisdom? This is a reputation. The Khawarij today, they form factions and they declare war and they call it jihad, and they start killing everyone, and you see it not coordinated. It just happens that they kill people that are not meant to be killed. They attack fellow Muslims. Is that jihad? No, that is not jihad. You don't call it jihad when you are killing the Muslims that are professing La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, what is the wisdom behind saying that this jihad has to be under the dictate of a Muslim ruler, that everything is in his hands and based on it, each jihad, meaning if he says advance, you advance, if he says stop, you stop. If he says no, let us do it batch by batch, that is in the hands of the Muslim ruler. And he must be obeyed. He must be obeyed with regards to that. Why? If jihad was not under rulership, then the aim will be defeated, because everyone will just crop up and start killing people as we are having today, and there will not be coordination, and the loss will be more than the gain. What do I mean by the loss? You won't be able to win people over to Islam. Instead, you take people away from the fold of Islam, as we see with the extremists of the 20th and the 21st century extremists. So, you know, so that is part of the wisdom. The imam, the leader, coordinates. As you have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being at the forefront, and in some, like in Khaybar, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ali bin Abi Talib to be the commander. And when the Prophet was about to die, he appointed Usama bin Zayd to be the leader of the army, of which Abu Bakr was among. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. During the reign of Umar bin Khattab, all the jihad that were fought were under leadership. You had Khalid bin Walid. Then you had Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. Then you had Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. No jihad without leadership. And the Amir has to command that the Muslim faithful have to go out. انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم. The first of the verses before this verse was later on abrogated by a subsequent verse on jihad. So the command comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The command comes from Abu Bakr bin Abi Quwafa radiallahu. The command comes from Umar bin Khattab, and that was how it was passed on, jilun ba'da jil, generation after generation, until things became upside down, and now you have people declaring jihad and killing innocent Muslims without having a leader. So we believe that jihad is there forever and ever till Qiyamah, but it has to be, the instruction has to come from the leader of the Muslims. And that's why you had the ISIS people, they were quick to pronounce Abubakar al-Baghdadi as the new Amir, so that they will legitimize their own type of jihad. But is that how a leader is appointed over the Muslims? No. Sheikh Uthaymeen also has something interesting to say with regards to this. Sheikh Uthaymeen, rahmatullah alayhi, he has something interesting to say also with regards to this. In Sharh al-Mumti ala Zahid al-Mustadni, in Sharh al-Mumti, in the 8th volume, page 22, Sheikh Uthaymeen said, La yajuzu ghazwa, la yajuzu ghazwa al-jaysh, إلا بإذن الإمام مهما كان الأمر لأن المخاطب بالغزو الجهاد هم ولاة الأمور وليس أفراد الناس وليس أفراد الناس. Sheikh Uthaymeen said, لا يجوز غزو الجيش, غزو الجيش. It is not permissible for the army to set out on a campaign, illa bi idhn al imam, except by the permission of the ruler. Mahma kana al amr, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the situation is. Now, understand the type of jihad we are talking about: the jihad that is aimed at conquest, the jihad that is aimed at calling the kuffar to Islam, not the jihad that is aimed at repelling an enemy force that has invaded the Muslim land. So you have self-defense even in the United Nations Charter. You have self-defense. So every international law, the international law recognizes, you know, the self-defense clause. So in that situation, you don't need the Amir to give command. Everyone gets up to protect the territory. So it's a la yajuz ghazw al jaysh illa bi ibn al imam mahma kana. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what the situation is, mahma kana al amr. Why? شيخ عثيمين واحد. لأن المخاطب بالغزو والجهاد والجهاد because the one that has been commanded the one to whom the command to fight والجهاد or engage in jihad هم ولاة الأمور. The command has been addressed to the rulers. The command is to the rulers. وليس أفراد الناس. It is not for individuals. So if the command to set forth for jihad and to prepare for jihad has been directed and addressed to the rulers, then jihad will not stand without having a ruler, because the one that has been charged with the responsibility of organizing it is the ruler. أليس كذلك؟ لأن المخاطب بالغزوة والجهاد هم ولاة الأمور وليس أفراد الناس. It has not been addressed to individuals. And Abu Dawood, hadith number 3462, he narrated a lengthy hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Ibn Umar, who said, Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had the messenger of Allah said, when you engage in Aina, what is that? A type of transaction that is intended to circumvent the prohibition of riba and usury. Allah has prohibited usury. Allah has prohibited riba. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you engage in that type of transaction, where you strive to circumvent the prohibition on riba and usury, and you take hold of the tails of oxen, bakr, and you are content with agriculture, not that agriculture is haram, but you take pride in agriculture at the time when jihad is obligatory. When you are asked to come forth for jihad, then you take pride in agriculture. You prefer to stay behind, to look after your farmland instead of going forth for jihad, fi sabilillah. And you give up jihad, then what is going to happen to us? What is going to happen to us? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you give up jihad, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send upon you humiliation. Allah will send upon you humiliation. Sallallahu alaykum. Allah will send upon you humiliation that will not be dispelled. It will not be lifted up on you until you return to your religion. Look at how the Muslims are humiliated all over the world today. Until you return to your religion, the Prophet repeated it, Allah will send upon you humiliation that will not be dispelled until you return to your religion. Allah will send upon you humiliation that will not be dispelled until you return to your religion. And this hadith has been classed as Sahih by Sheikh Nasruddin al-Albani in Sahih Abi Dawud. And that is the situation. Now, so we believe in this, and also Hajj, alayhi kadhalik, and also Hajj. Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it obligatory upon us. And that is why you see the Muslims, they always go for Hajj under the rulership of someone. So you have Amir al-Hajj, you have this person, you know, looking after the Hujjaj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would appoint, he appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead people for Hajj, even before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As an year, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam appointed, he appointed Abu Bakr. There was a time that Abu Bakr led the Hujjaj. So it has always been like that, under leadership, to lead people, to guide them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Ummah, and he said, take from me your manasik, your right of Hajj. And we know that Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. And jihad fi kulli dahrin wa zamanin. So jihad is there until the last hour. There is never going to be a time when jihad will be lifted. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran chapter 2 verse 195, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ وَحْسِنُوا. Surah Al-Baqarah, Quran chapter 2 verse 195. Allah said, وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and spend in the cause of Allah. Spend in the cause of Allah. This is spending in jihad, fi sabilillah. The scholars, the fourth translation for fi sabilillah is always jihad, fi sabilillah, jihad. So Allah said, wa antiqu fi sabilillahi, and spend on the path of Allah, spend in the cause of Allah, yani jihad of all kinds. Wa la tulqu bi aydikum ila tahluka, and do not throw yourselves into destruction. What does this mean? What does this mean? Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, رضي الله عنه. I hope I'm getting I'm not mixed up the names. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said, once they were they set out and they were the Muslims were fighting, and one of the believers threw himself into the ranks of the disbelievers and he was killed. But the gate of the city was opened, but he threw himself. And someone recited that Allah said, "Wala tulku ya aydikum ila tahluka." Do not throw yourselves into destruction. Yani this companion, their companion that threw himself and was killed, but as a result the Muslims gained entry into the fortress. Some were saying, Allah said, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ, Quran 2:195, and do not throw yourselves into destruction. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari said, no, you do not understand this verse. You don't understand this verse, you are misinterpreting it. He said, let me tell you what happened, some of the nuzul of this verse. He said, we were in Medina after Allah had opened up we won wars, and we say, okay, since now we've been winning wars and Islam has been expanding, and now we have neglected our world. We've been concentrating on going out for jihad fi sabilillah. Now that Allah has been giving us success in our jihad, isn't it time for us to now concentrate on our farm, on our wealth? Isn't it time for us to now concentrate on our farm and our wealth? He said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. Allah says, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. Yani, do not wala tatruku an nafaqa fi sabilillah. Wala tatruku an nafaqa fi sabilillah. Do not leave spending on the path of Allah. This is the understanding also of Uthayfah ibn Yaman. This is the understanding of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and Abu Ja'far ibn Jarir ibn Tabari brought this explanation under the tafsir of this verse. So the sin, of neglecting jihad is enormous. So we, the Ahl al-Sunnah wa Jama'ah, we believe in that. وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ وَلَا الْقِتَالَ فِي الْفِتْنَةِ وَنَسْمَعُ وَنُطِيعُ لِمَنْ وَلَّاهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَنَا وَلَا نَنْزَأُ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ. Now, we do not, وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ, we do not think and we do not believe that you should rebel against the leaders. Rebellion against the leaders. We don't believe in rebellion against the leaders. My communication, this is a very important thing. So this is also a refutation against the Khawarij. Today the Boko Haram, it is part of their belief, you come out and you rebel against constituted authorities. ولا نرى الخروج على الأئمة. And we did not believe in rebellion against the rulers. This is a refutation against what? Against the Khawarij. And Imam al-Nawawi said this is a consensus. Also Ibn Mundhir said it. This is a consensus. We do not believe in what? Opposition. We do not believe in rebellion against the ruler. All of these things is because of what? Maslaha. When you rebel against the ruler, it leads to a lot of fitna. Look at Iraq. Look at Libya. Look at Syria. They rebelled against Bashar al-Assad. Look at what Libya is today. Look at Yemen. Look at, you know, all these countries where people come out, and unless you have the strength and you know it's not going to lead to any backlash, and the leader is an evil leader, that is when some of the scholars said it is permissible, but not when it's going to lead to a lot of fitna. So, وَلَا نَرَى الْخُرُوجَ عَلَى الْأَئِمَّةِ, like the Khawarij would rebel against the leaders. No. We have our aqidah regarding this. We bear patiently with what the leader does, even if he oppresses. Because Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi was a notorious murderer. Hajjaj killed, it was said that conservatively, killed more than 124,000 people. Yet, Anas bin Malik was alive. Anas bin Malik was alive. And I went to Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, regarding the torture that Hajjaj bin Yusuf is meeting out against people. Anas advised them that you should be patient. Be patient. Anas never said, go out and rebel against him. Because this is not the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah. So this is also very important. In our situation today, you hold placards and go to Eagle Square and start shouting, we will not give, or how do they even say it? Is this part of the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah? Well, someone can argue that, well, but the system is not an Islamic system, but you are a Muslim. You are a Muslim. Alaysa kadhalik. So once someone came to me, they wanted my voice to be heard on a certain thing, and they said, please, they want me to hold a placard and go to and join them at what do you call this thing? This fountain, Unity Fountain. And I said, this is against my aqidah. We do not see any reason why we should rebel against a leader if there are channels to communicate to that leader. Inshallah, I was going to explain this part in more. وَلَا الْكِتَالَةِ الْفِتْنَةِ, fighting also. Fighting in the time of fitna. We do not believe that you come out. وَنَسْمَعُ وَنَتِيعُ لِمَنْ وَاللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَمْرَنَا. We only listen. This is aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَنَسْمَعُ, we listen. وَنَتِيعُ, we obey. لِمَنْ وَاللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَمْرَنَا. We listen and we obey anyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to be a leader of us, to be our leader. وَلَا نَنْزَعُ يَدًا مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ. We do not remove our hands in obedience to him. Ma'ana, we do not cease to obey him. This is our aqidah. We do not cease to obey him. Now, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains this better for us. The hadith in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and also Imam al-Tirmidhi has the hadith, he declared the hadith Hassan al-Sahih, that hadith is good and authentic. The hadith, famous hadith that I think almost every one of us will know the hadith, if I reference it now. The hadith of Abu Najih. Who is Abu Najih? Al-Irbad bin Sariya. Al-Irbad bin Sariya. one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, in a lengthy narration, I'm just going to, you know, focus on what is relevant to what we're discussing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them, "Usikum bi taqwallahi wa sam'i wa ta'a." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I advise you to have taqwa of Allah. Protect yourself against the wrath of Allah. Fear Allah. Wa sam'i wa ta'a. Yani usikum bi taqwallah wa usikum aidan bi sam'i wa usikum aidan bi ta'a. I advise you to have taqwa of Allah." And I advise you to listen and obey. To listen and obey. وَإِن تَأَمَّرَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَبِدٌ فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى أَخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. The Prophet said, I advise you to have the taqwa of Allah and to listen and obey, even if a slave is a leader over you. So do not say because he's a slave, I'm not going to obey him. Do not say because it's from the lowly background, I'm not going to obey him. Do not say that, okay, he's doing something wrong, I'm not going to obey him in what he has not what he has commanded, even if what he has commanded does not involve Allah's disobedience. That is the condition. The advice that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is that we should fear Allah and to listen and to obey. And this is a very important principle, because a lot of people do not understand this. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned both listening and obeying, and scholars said listening is a different concept from obeying, so they have to be treated individually. So what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying is, in essence, is that we should listen properly to the leaders to understand what they are ordering. So when they say lockdown, we have certain rules. Listen to understand properly what these regulations are. Then after listening, what has been ordered, and that process of listening has been perfected, then now what da'a, then you now implement what has been commanded, and you know what, and you obey the command. Another way of looking at listen and obey, what sam'u wa ta'a, is that a ta'a is an emphasis on listening. But the scholar said, if words can give a meaning to what they stand for, there is no need to take them away from what they mean. So listening means something different, obeying means something different. Do you know what's going to happen? And that is why Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, wallahi, that the middle course. You have one group of people, whatever the leader is doing, don't advise him. You have the other group of people, that if the leader is wrong, oppose him and be rebels. You have the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, advise the leader with the best of words, in the best of manner, in secrecy. Do not come to the pulpit to expose him. Advise him. Advise him. Meet him in seclusion, like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, if you want to advise me, do not advise me in public. Take me to a corner. Shower me with your advice. Envelop me with your advice. But if you come out in public dishing out your advice to me, well, I don't know if you are there to expose me or to advise me. So Islam says, when you are advising the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah, when you are advising the leader, meet him in private if you have access to him. If you don't have access to him, meet those that have access to him. If you don't have those that have access to him, then take it as a form of general advice when you climb the pulpit, without coming across as if you are attacking. Because if there is no listening and obedience to the others of those that have been charged with responsibilities, offer us our leaders, there will be anarchy. There will be anarchy, chaos, and civil strife in the society. Everyone will be a warlord. And you know what happens. Everyone has a territory that it carves out for himself. There will be anarchy. There will be chaos. There will be civil strife. But where there is proper obedience to constituted authorities, then surely peace and unity will reign. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advises us on this aspect. Because without it, there will be chaos. So what is upon us as Muslims, what we believe in is that we must listen and we must obey the ruler. What it means by obedience here, remember, what it means by obedience here is, we said what? وَنَسْمَعُ وَنُطِيعُ. What is this obedience? The Muslim responds and submits to what has been ordered, or he refrains from what has been prohibited by the ruler, without any disputation or any resistance, regardless of whether what was ordered is consistent with what you like or not, provided it does not involve disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been captured aptly by Abdullah At-Tariqi in his kitab Ta'a al-Ulul Amr, obedience to the rulers, in that book of his, page 9, Abdullah At-Tariqi, he captured this amazingly. And this is one of the fundamental principles of Islam, to listen and to obey. I'm emphasizing on this because the problem that the Muslim world is facing today is as a result of, one of the problems is because of disobedience to constituted authorities. Imam al-Tahawi, in Aqidat al-Tahawi, he said, and he was quoting Ibn Abla'iz, Imam al-Tahawi said, we, yani, nahnu, here it means we, the people of Sunnah al-Jama'ah, not the Khawarij, not the people of Bid'ah in any form, those that are sticking to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, we do not believe in revolt against our leaders and rulers, even if they commit injustice, even if they are oppressors, even if they are zalimun. Nor do we supplicate against them. We don't get up and start cursing them and supplicating against our rulers. Neither do we defy their orders. This is Ibn Abla'iz. You know, Imam al-Tahawi, in Aqidat al-Tahawi, he brought this. He said, however, on the contrary, what the people of Sunnah do is that we believe that obedience to them is a duty and a part of our obligatory obedience to Allah, as long as they do not order anything sinful. Can you see the connection now? The similarity between what Ibn Abla'iz said and what Abdullah At-Tariqi brought in his kitab Ta'al ul-Amr. We pray for their safety and piety. Because if the ruler is good, the society will be good. If the ruler is bad, the society will suffer the consequences. And there are very numerous verses of the Quran to point to that. One of the such verses is the verse of Surah Al-Nisa, Quran chapter 4, verse 59. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ati'u Allah wa ati'u al-Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. and those charged with authority among you. Look at the beauty of Quranic verse. Allah says, "Atiya Allah wa atiya al Rasul." Obey Allah and obey the Messenger. Allah didn't say, "Wa atiya ulil amri minkum." Allah didn't say that. Allah said, "Wa ulil amri minkum." The scholars say, perhaps you only obey the people of authority, your rulers, if their command is not contrary to what Allah has said. If they have not prohibited what Allah has permitted, nor have they permitted what Allah has prohibited, then you obey them. So their obedience to those charged with responsibility over us, rulership, is hinged on their consistency with what Allah and His Messenger have ordered. So, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. In Sahih Bukhari Muslim, muttafaqun alayh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَلَى الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ السَّمْعُ وَالدَّاعَ فِي مَا أَحَبَّ وَكَرْهَ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمَرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَإِنْ أُمِرَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ فَلَا سَمْعَ وَلَا دَاعَ. The Prophet has given us a way out. It is the duty of every Muslim to hear and obey, whether he likes it or not, except when he is asked to do something sinful. In that case, there is no listening and no obedience. Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, you know, Ad-Dumayji, he quoted Umar bin Khattab. Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, is reported to have said, "There is no Islam. There is no Islam without community, a jama'ah. And there is no community without a leader. And there is no leader without obedience." Look at the beauty of the statement of Umar bin Khattab. So we have to obey. And this is the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us another way out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated, in Bukhari and Muslim, our time is almost up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated, in Bukhari and Muslim, I hope you're following. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, "Man ra'a min amirihi shay'an yakrahuhu, falyashbir alayhi fa'innahu man faraqa al-jama'a shibran فَمَاتَ إِلَّا مَاتَ مِيْتَةَ جَاهِلِيَّةً مِيْتَةً جَاهِلِيَّةً." The Prophet said, if anyone of you finds a thing, if you discover that there is something in your ruler which you do not approve of, then the Prophet said, the only way to handle it is to bear it patiently. Be patient over the things that your rulers do that you don't like. Why? The Prophet said, for one who moved a span's length from the Jama'ah, the community of the Muslims, you deviate. And now you have become a rebel. Let us fight against the leader. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you move a span's length from the Jama'ah and you die, that person dies the death of the days of ignorance, wherein people don't obey their rulers. This hadith is in Bukhari Muslim. And Ibn Abi al-Aziz, he extensively explained the wisdom behind not revolting against rulers, even if these rulers are impious. He said, as to the rule that we the Muslims should obey those in authority, even if they are unjust, he said the reason is because the evil that will result from revolting against them will be many times more than the evil which results from their injustice. Look at Syria today, the injustice of Bashar al-Assad. Can you compare it to the injustice that the people are facing now when they revolted against Bashar al-Assad? The injustice meted out against the people of Libya, against the people of Iraq, as they claim by their leaders, can you compare that to the injustice that they are faced with now after revolting against these leaders? So Ibn Abla'iz, he said, this is the wisdom behind it. He said, in fact, by patiently bearing their injustice, we atone for many of our mistakes and add to our rewards. For Allah has only inflicted them upon us on account of our mistakes. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ When these things happen to us and we return back to Allah, then they serve as forgiveness for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, and we're going to end on this note, or we read, okay, we'll just read the last line because it's connected to it. Now, to balance it, this does not in any way suggest that people should sit quietly and do nothing while injustice is prevailing in their societies. However, it is the duty upon the Muslims to do nasiha, you know, ad-din nasiha, the hadith of Abu Ruqayya, Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ad-din nasiha, the religion is nasiha. So don't sit down and fold your hands and sit quietly without doing anything while injustice is ripe in your society. But it is a duty upon the Muslims to advise, look at the word nasiha, to advise or make nasiha to the ruler. You must work to change the wrong given your authority, the ability that Allah has given to you, according to your ability. You know the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِفَ بِالْلِسَانِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِفَ بِالْقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ ضَعْفُ الْإِيمَانِ So in accordance with your ability, if you are able to change it with your hands, change it. If you are able to change it with your speech, change it. If you are able to hate it in your heart, do it. At least you are doing something for the sake of Allah. Don't do anything, however, that will lead to greater harm. You don't take away harm with another harm. You have to be certain that evil, you can be able to take it away and replace it with something good. And that is why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in a narration that has been recorded by Imam al-Nasa'i in the Sunan, in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Sunan of Ibn Majah, Shaykh Nasruddin al-Albani authenticated the hadith in Sahih Jami, the first volume, hadith number 248. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, كلمة حق عند سلطان جائر. See, Abdul Jihad, it was asked, the most virtuous jihad, and the Prophet ﷺ said, a statement of truth in the presence of an unjust ruler. In the presence of an unjust ruler, that is you meeting the ruler, not writing an open letter, not, you know, instigating the public against him. No. Privately, and he will respect you. There is wisdom. There is wisdom behind meeting him in private. And obedience to ruler is not absolute as we have captured. Now, what is the next thing? وَأَنَّ الْجِهَادَ مَاضٍ مُنْذُ بَعْثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ Jihad has been established and will remain منذ بعث الله نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم from the moment Allah sent His Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى قيام الساعة till the last hour مع أولي الأمر alongside the rulers من أئمة المسلمين from among the leaders of the Muslims لا يبطل شيء nothing will ever change this status quo. وَلَحَجُّ كَذَلِكَ And so is Al-Hajj. We're going to stop here, inshallah. We're almost through with the kitab. Maybe two or three more classes will be done. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ اشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ نعم.